Every other year, we have some of our own men bring lessons for our summer series, and we've had some wonderful lessons this summer, and I'm especially thankful to hear these young men that grew up at McDermott Road and to see the men that they are becoming, to see the Christians that they are becoming, the servants of God in His kingdom. Joey Georgian is going to be bringing our lesson tonight. He's a student right now at Oklahoma Christian, and this is a young man who, if you know him, you know that he has an incredible love for the Lord, an incredible love for the church, and a wonderful grasp of Scripture. He's going to be speaking to us tonight about serving God in response to Him. So Joey, come and preach the word to us, brother.
Good evening. So, like I said, after service, if you don't know me, you should come and meet me. I'll be right there. I really like talking to people. So, today, I'm going to be talking about service. We've been looking at different things like love, worship, and honoring God, serving Him. And with each of these words, I think we need to ask a bunch of questions, because Scripture asks us to ask questions, and God wants us to ask questions, because He has answers for us. So we're going to be asking and looking at service through the most essential questions, by asking who, what, when, where, why, and, of course, wow. Because we're going to stick to the theme of W's. So, first off, who do we serve? Well, this one's an easy one, right? God. Next one. Well, hold up just a second. Don't we tend to do that? We tend to say, I know the answer to this one. I remember this. I've heard it every single week, and I know this one. So then we just skip over it. And skipping over it leads to some problems, because this is really essential to understanding service, understanding who we serve. It's God. And if we skip over this question, we run into some issues, or can run into issues, really, really quickly. For example, it's important to make sure that we start off at the right place and have everything in order. A random hypothetical is maybe you were preparing for your Wednesday night lesson, and while preparing for it, you got your slides ready, your scriptures ready, you practiced it, and then you almost forgot to submit your slides on time. And that would have thrown a wrench in it, and that's one of the essential, like, basic things that you need to get right off the bat. But I don't know if that's a super relatable example. So another example that we're going to look at is the Pharisees in the Bible. The Pharisees would have said that they knew the answer to this question. They would have looked at this question and said, moving on, now let's focus on the specifics of what it means to have a day of rest on the Sabbath. Or let's look at the specifics of what I need to do and how I should pray to look the best, what I should wear all of the time. And they got so bogged down on all of these things that they kind of forgot that they were serving God and started serving themselves. Forgetting to truly acknowledge who we serve can lead us astray on where, how, and why we should be serving. So now that we know that we're supposed to be serving God, and we know that that's an important question to ask, we've got to figure out why that's important. So what kind of God are we serving? And I think Scripture is a perfect place to find the answer to this question. Scripture shows us pieces of God through stories that it tells us. And God tends to show who He is and His character mostly through parallels. Jesus said multiple times that you have heard it said to you this, but I say to you this. Taking what we know and what we've heard, and then using that as an example to explain how He truly is. And there are examples of this in both the Old and the New Testament. One of the examples in the Old Testament that we tend to kind of skip over because we don't understand the cultural context is the false gods that Israel would fall away to worship. Israel would be right with God, they'd be in a really good place, then they would fall away and turn away to what everybody else in the land was doing. Then it would lead to something bad happening, and they would repent. And this cycle would continue a lot. This cycle usually ended or started with them serving Baal. And we picture Baal as like this bad guy, just an evil person, or an evil false god. But he was actually the god of the harvest. And as a part of harvest, he required a sacrifice, which you would sacrifice to him, and it was said that he would give you a good harvest, because food was important and harder to find back then. So it was really tempting for them. And this was a parallel that God took, and pretty common, that most other gods would require some kind of sacrifice and then would give you something in return for that sacrifice. Well, God took this story and instead told Abraham in Genesis to take his only son, Isaac, and to sacrifice himself. But right before Abraham sacrificed Isaac, God stopped him and said, instead, no, don't do that. I'm providing the sacrifice instead. While other gods required a sacrifice in order to receive a blessing, our God provided the sacrifice in order for us to receive a blessing. That sacrifice later ended up becoming Jesus, who sacrificed for our own sin and separation from God. So if most other gods, and even idols today, are looking for a sacrifice from us, our money, our time, our effort, our interest, and our thoughts, if they're looking for sacrifices in order to promise some kind of blessing, but God's already provided the sacrifice, then God is unlike any other god or idol that we could serve. So how do we serve him then? And what is he looking for? God gave us this blessing so that we could respond to him. Our main theme for the entire summer has been responding to God. Because he's blessed us, we have a response to him. That response is through worship and love and service, so that we can have a relationship with him in heaven. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a relationship. We can strengthen this relationship and respond by repentance and baptism, which is shown in Acts 2:38, loving God and loving others, which is shown in Matthew 22:37 through 40, and going into all of the world, making disciples of all the nations, which is shown in Matthew 28:19. So now that we have a better grasp of what God's wanting from us, how he's wanting us to respond, we're going to look at when should we be serving. And when this question's asked, I find myself asking questions that look a whole lot like this. We know we should be serving God, but how often do I need to serve? I went on a mission trip this summer, but is that enough? And I would love more opportunities to serve, but how can I fit it into my already really busy schedule? And these questions are not even directly opposed to the idea of serving God. These are looking for more opportunities. They're looking for how much we need to serve, a time requirement. What do we do to kind of fill up the requirement? And these questions sound kind of off, and it's because they are. They're looking at it the wrong way. My freshman year at Oklahoma Christian, I took a Bible class, and one of the main takeaways from it was that we are created beings that serve a purpose. We are constantly serving something, no matter what it is that we're doing, whether we're at work, at school, with our friends, here at church, or even sleeping. That we're constantly serving something, and we can never not serve something. So, if we're always serving something, we have to look at the question a little bit differently. It's not about how often we should be serving God, but how often that our service should be directed towards God. And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it reflects the answer to this question. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Our service should always be directed towards God. Whatever we're doing, wherever we are, we should always direct our service toward God. So the next question is, where should we serve God? And once again, seems like a very easy answer. Everywhere, right? But if we skip over the question, we start to look at it the wrong way. We can fall into some traps. And everywhere, there's a lot of things going on. And there are a lot of places that need service and a lot of places that need help. And we can't be everywhere. As created beings, we're very finite. We're in one place at one time. We can't be everywhere. So sometimes we're so distracted by all of the places that need service and need help that sometimes we forget that there are places to serve in our path right now. There are places to serve within this church and outside of this church in the local community. Of course, there are mission trips, and those are awesome, and there are people that are in need all over the world. So anywhere you go, you can find opportunities to serve. But we can't get bogged down by that we miss the opportunities God presents to us right here. So, we can't always be everywhere serving God, but we should focus on serving God wherever we go. So, why should we be serving God? If I'm putting this in, what am I getting out of it? What do we get out of serving God? Is it salvation? Well, the short answer is no. We could never pay our own debt. It's Jesus that pays our debt, and faith in him and baptism is what saves us. So if it's not for that, then where does it come from? Well, once again, we're responding to God. Faith, true faith in God, produces works. These works are love and service, worship and honor, and all of the other topics that we've been talking about in this series. In James 2, 17 through 18, Scripture also reflects this idea by showing that, so also if faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. So our faith produces action. Once we believe that we are truly saved by Jesus, repent and are baptized, we should have a desire to serve, a desire to worship him, and want to strengthen that relationship with him. Romans 10, 9 through 10, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, John 3, 16 through 18, and Acts 4, 12 are all other examples in the Bible where Scripture shows us that faith in Jesus is where our salvation comes from, and by our own works, we could never have made it into heaven. We serve as a response to the blessings and sacrifice that God has already given to us. Once again, different from everything else that we've seen and everything else that we could direct our service to. So if we know why we should be serving God, if we're responding to God, then why is our service to both God and others? Why is that? Why are we supposed to serve other people? Because they didn't pay our debt. They didn't do anything for us. And Scripture, once again, has an answer for this. Matthew 25, verse 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. God uses us, and he wants to use us, and that's a great opportunity that we have. Our service to other people brings them into a relationship with him too, which is what he's wanting. And so by serving other people, we are serving God through those actions. And we should have the same desire that we use when approaching service towards God when we serve other people as well. Another thing was that at the start of the summer, me and a couple of friends from OC went on a road trip where we were camping and hiking. Seeing God's creation was such a beautiful experience, and it was amazing. At our first stop, we were at a campsite, and the camp owner found out that we were a group of Christians traveling and said that he wanted to come over to our campsite and pray with us before we left, which was already in itself an awesome experience. But when he got there, he told us that he led a prison ministry, and he saw people our age going in and out of there just because of one mistake that they had made, and urged us to stay faithful to what God has talked about. And the reason he said for that was because as true Christians, we should desire a relationship with Jesus, not just a ticket to heaven. And I think that's beautifully put to say that God desires a relationship with us, but we should also want a relationship with him. This should be something that we desire and look for, not just for salvation, because he's already given us that blessing. We want to be closer to him, and so that's why we respond to him. So to look at it as a whole, we serve God, a God unlike any other God, who sacrificed for us, desiring a relationship through baptism and discipleship. We should direct our service to him in everything we do by sharing the good news through our actions and message because of what he's already done for us. And this is a very full picture of service, a very well-rounded view that gets us to understand every aspect of who, what, when, where, and why, asking every question and focusing and acknowledging every answer. But there's a little bit more. Wow. What's wow? Well, before I get to that, South Texas and McAllen Mission Trip. South Texas is a trip that McDermott Road Youth Group takes every summer, and McAllen Mission Trip is a mission trip that's taken every spring break by the church in Edmond that I go to at OC. They're both in about the same area, and they work very, very closely together. They're about the same experience. And each time that I've had the opportunity to go there, I have a mindset that looks something like this. Wow, what a great experience and opportunity that I have to serve. This is like exactly what we think of when we think of service. And I get this opportunity to go and help people who are in need. While helping people who are in need, I also get to grow closer to God by being surrounded by friends who are also trying to strengthen their relationship, who are also taking time out of their weeks to go and to serve. What a great environment that I get to be a part of. And I'm in the van driving down there. It doesn't matter how long that drive is. I'm excited about it. I'm ready to go. And it's 110 degrees when we get there. And 110 degrees is really, really hot. And scraping off paint is really, really hard work. It's not a fun job to do. And I miss sleeping in my own bed. My bed's really comfortable. And the ones at South Texas are great. They're not my bed. And after all of this, I start hearing a phrase over and over again. And it's often me saying it too, that I'm tired. How did we get there? Because we started off so good. We had such a good picture of what service looked like. We're all ready to serve, and we find the perfect opportunity, a great opportunity to go somewhere and serve. And once we're there, suddenly now that doesn't sound like the definition that I gave. It sounds a whole lot more like a chore. It sounds like a job, something that I have to do. And why is that? Why do we get so excited to serve, and then in the moment of serving, we kind of forget? It's because we're focused on ourselves. And service can seem like a chore. Any amount of response to God can sometimes seem like a chore, but specifically service seems like a chore, especially when we're focused on ourselves. And we can't just not focus on ourselves. We have to focus on something else. So, in order to not focus on ourselves, we need to focus on God. And how do we do that? Well, I think we do that by having a wow mindset that we approach service with. And service with a wow mindset removes us from the equation. It takes us out and it puts the focus on God. We can do that in two different ways. By focusing on the sacrifice that God's made, the fact that he's already given us a blessing. I don't know, but when I have something done for me that I couldn't have done myself, I really want to pay that person back. I want to repay them for what they did. And I want to show them that I'm really thankful for how much it meant to me. And with that in mind, we suddenly are given the opportunity. God says, here's how you respond. Here's how I want you to respond. And we should want to respond in that way. I want to respond in that way when I focus on just how crazy it is, how counterintuitive it is that the God that we serve sacrificed for us before asking for something from us. The second way that I notice is through the impact that service has both in and out of the church. And sometimes it's kind of hard to see. So I'm going to use an example. The first picture up here is a picture of me on OC's campus at Camp Impact. The second picture at the bottom is me at LTC. And the third picture is an opportunity that I was given my senior year to teach a Texas Bible Bowl class. But I don't want to focus on me as the consistent factor. I want to focus on the people who were serving in each of these places, the counselors at the camps, and the people who led the classes, who gave up their time to be there and to make sure I didn't get lost. The people in LTC who coordinate everything, the coaches who lead, and the judges who are there, everybody who's a part of that to make that happen. And the people teaching classes who identified leaders, picked me out, and threw me into the deep end, helping me to lead. Those impacts, the impact that has, got me here, where I'm leading in front of the church on a Wednesday night. The service that's done in the church has such an impact on the people here because I know it's had an impact on me and everybody else sitting here, the community that's there, the people who are involved, the selflessness, the love that's shown. And that's so important. And why when Wes says every Sunday that he loves this church, I agree. I love this church. And I can prove that because there are so many instances this church has loved me. The second instance is the way that this church loves other people, people outside of this church. These are pictures from South Texas showing just a little bit of the impact that we have in just a week that we're down there. That means something to people for years. That brings them so much closer to give them a good experience from the church, to show them that the church is loving and selfless. And the ability that God has to work through us, the fact that he even chooses to work through us in the first place, is such a blessing. And it makes the word opportunity to serve make so much more sense. The wow mindset that we approach, realizing that the God who paid a debt we could never pay, chose to work and chooses to work through us. Wow is the perspective that we need to have to approach service and everything else that we do in response to God. It's a thing that helps our worship. It helps us to honor God. It helps us to serve him. It helps us to love him. And it puts the focus off of ourselves, takes it away from ourselves, and shows a better way to respond to what God's already done for us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone in this church who's been such a blessing to me through their service, through everything that they've done. I thank you so much for the love that you've shown us, for the sacrifice that you made so that we could receive a blessing that we could never have paid ourselves. Help us to serve you. Help us to love you, worship you, and to honor you. Help us to respond to you so that we can have a relationship with you. Lord, please be with us going from here. Prepare our minds to have a wow mindset, to approach everything that we do focused on the love that you've shown us and not on ourselves. Lord, thank you once again for this church community. And it's through your son's name that we pray. Amen.